Begin the current Dav Masechtas Brachas Dav Mem Gimel. We begin in Amen Aleph. We begin with Teis Divrei Maaseil. Teis begins with the words of the Gemara, Kol Echad Noitel Yodei Achas, everyone would wash one hand. Which Teis comes to explain, first of all, why would they wash one hand? And moreover, why this is not considered a problem of arrogance. The Gemara brought that the Braisa, that what was the order of the reclining of a meal? The guests would come in, they would sit on benches until everyone came in. They would have water brought in front of them, and everyone would wash one hand. Teis explained, this said they would each wash one hand. That was when they covet HaBracha, because of the dignity of the blessing they were going to make on the cup of wine. And therefore, Teis continues to his second point, and he says, this cannot be compared to someone who is washing his hands when he's coming to eat fruits, which actually the HaVimagasiya Ruach, that's considered a problem. That's considered arrogance, as if he's considering himself that not only for bread, but even for fruits, he has to wash his hands. Because Taisa says, why is it not considered arrogance? Here, since he was only doing it for the dignity of the bracha, so the hand that would hold the cup of wine, he would wash. But since he wasn't washing both hands, so it wasn't like as if when you wash for a bread meal that you're washing for fruits, because then it would be considered arrogance. Here, since it was only for one hand, like we said, because it wasn't for the actual netilas yadayim, but rather for the covenant of the bracha, therefore it wasn't a violation of the halacha of gasas ruach of arrogance. Now, considering the next taste of the Rimaskal, it begins with the words of the Gemara, balem yain b'chulu, if wine came to them, meaning taste explains, why didn't the Gemara say over here that the wine that he made a bracha in the beginning would exempt the wine that they were drinking later on when they were reclining for the meal? That is, the Gemara brought, as we just mentioned, that the order of the meal would be, the guests would come in, they would sit on the benches until everyone came in. Then they brought water, everyone washed one hand, then they had a cup of wine, and that, the Gemara points out, that everyone would make their own bracha themselves. Then when they went in and they reclined together for the meal, again, so then they had water to wash their hands for the meal, even they already washed their hands once before, now they're washing both hands. Then they get wine again, and here the halacha is, even though everyone made their bracha already themselves individually, here they can make a bracha again, but here it's different here, since they're making a kviyas together, that one person is going to make the bracha for them all. But that bothers Taisviz, Va'avagav the Yain Shalev Ne'amazin. But forget about if each one's going to make it themselves or one's going to make it them all. The problem is, why are they making a new bracha at all? Avagav the Yain Shalev Ne'amazin, although if you have wine before the meal, which they did, the halacha is put the Yain Shalev Achramazin. That exempts even the wine, as our Mishnah said, that's after the meal. For sure, in this case that the Bryce is discussing, Shalafanavu, where this is being drunk even before the meal even starts. So, it's a culture came from the Halacha of HaMishnah, where here they drank it okay in one room, then they went to recline in another room, but that wine is before the meal. So, if you made a bracha already once, for sure it should exempt the wine that you're drinking a second time before the meal, because our Mishnah says even it exempts the wine after the meal. It says, Taisis, no, Shani Hacha, actually here it's different. And the reason is Kivin Sha'alu L'Hasav, like the Braisa describes, since they went into a different room to recline, which was where the dining room was, Havashinu Makam. That's a change of location. Tzarech L'Varach, and then you have to make a new bracha. So yeah, actually here it's worse than the case of the Mishnah. Although the Mishnah is talking about the bracha on the wine before the meal, exempt the wine after the meal, that's in the same dining room. Here they drank in the antechamber in the other room, and then they came in for the meal. Even though it's before the meal, they had to have a new bracha on the wine. And again, here, instead of everyone making their own bracha, one person would make it for them all because they were all reclined together. So in the next taste of your maskel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, that hoil ve'im be'sabliya pami, since the throat is not clear. So taste comes to explain two different points. First of all, if the statement of savri maranon, if saying, pay attention, savri is like from a lashon of svara, of, you know, think, stop. If that helps regarding for this halacha, if one person can make a bracha for them all, even in the middle of a meal, and also regarding the bracha about teva meitiv, which is when we have new wine brought in the middle of the meal, if one person will fulfill the obligation for them all in the middle of the meal. And that's because the taisis is going on the Gemara that they had asked Ben Zayma, why is it, as we find the halacha, the Mishnah, difference? Why if wine becomes in the middle of the meal, we say everyone makes their own bracha? Whereas if wine comes after the meal, one person makes a bracha for them all. So he said, because in the middle of the meal, as our taisis quotes, the throat is not clear. Everyone's busy eating. So people are not paying attention to the one who's making the bracha. They're just busy swallowing. And you need to have that both of them are having intent to fulfill the obligation. Here, people are not really paying so much focus and kavana, and therefore, they're not going to be fulfilling their obligation. And therefore, you can't be yitz with someone else. You have to make your own bracha of wine in the middle of the meal. Now, Taisa says, but b'yesh mefarshim, that those who explain, based on what we just interpreted, what does it mean, since the throat is not clear, that kesha'imer, savri, mayri, but let's say, in the middle of the meal. Yeah, everyone's all busy because they're eating. But let's say the one who's about to make the bracha says, Sari, pay attention, my masters. And v'heima nichem lechol, so the people stop eating, k'dei l'shmoy ha-bracha, to hear the bracha of the one who's making the bracha on the wine, v'lanas amen, to answer amen. That then, sheyu patrun, that actually then, everyone will be exempt from making their own bracha, and they'll fulfill the obligation with the bracha that the one person is making for them all, because the whole problem is they're not paying attention, they're busy eating. Here, when he says safri, people stop eating, they're paying attention, therefore they fulfill their obligation. And v'chimashma b'yushalmi, so too, sounds like this from the Yushalmi. Kabahach b'raisa, regarding this b'raisa, the Yushalmi qualifies and says, Hanamili, when did we say this, that, yes, like our Mishnah said, you're not going to fulfill your obligation with the one who's making the bracha in the middle of the meal. That's ba'urchim. That's when there's guests, there's so many people, it's a simcha, there's stuff going on. People not paying attention. So you have to make your own bracha. But says the Yerushalmi, of a babala bayis, but when you have a homeowner with his family, putter, then the rest are exempt from making their own bracha. Why? Everyone pays attention to Tati, to the father, to Abba, to the homeowner, when he's making the bracha. So therefore, actually then, they would not have to make it to Ombrachas. Now, Tani Reb Chiya, however, Reb Chiya teaches a braisa that disagrees and says, no, af bala bayis patech beisa. No, even a homeowner in his own home, the halacha is, that everyone has to make their own bracha for themselves. They don't feel the obligation with the bracha with the bala bayis, as we're going to shortly see in Taisus, because the sages didn't differentiate. Rather, anytime in the middle of a meal, everyone has to make their own bracha. But one thing is that there are those who want to say, like we see, there is such an opinion in Yerushalmi that if let's say he says Savri, if people are paying attention, whether like the Yerushalmi is talking about, like let's say a father figure or like the Yesh Mefarshim want to say, at least when he says Savri, so people are stopping, they're paying attention, then you could fulfill your obligation. But says Taisa Ve'in Niril Rabbeinu Elchanan. Rabbeinu Elchanan doesn't like the interpretation of the Yesh Mefarshim, that when you say Savri Mayri, that then you could fulfill the obligation with one person's bracha, even in the middle of a meal. Because he says, no, the kimin shetikna chacham, since the sages instituted, as we find in our Mishnah, sheyivarch kalech la'atzma, everyone should make their own bracha, en yetzah klal b'birchas chaver, no, you don't fulfill your obligation with your friend's bracha. But God, moreover, he says, shalei tachli, we don't want to differentiate bein ponei l'she'ena ponei, between if the person is preoccupied with eating or not preoccupied, because the asa lamitik, because then people are going to make an error and they're going to say, oh, I really wasn't eating when he made the bracha, really he was busy and he didn't focus. So to avoid confusion, he says that no, in the middle of a meal, everyone should be making their own bracha, even if the person says sabri. Now Tosafot moves on to another bracha in the middle of the meal. What's a dvahat teva meitiv? Teva meitiv is a bracha that, let's say, in the middle of the meal, new good wine was brought, which is better than the wine they were using before in the meal. So although you don't have to make a new bayi paragraph, and there's halacha, the Gemara says, later on, the New Testament base, you have to make a bracha of hatayva meitiv. So it says, Taisus yesh mefarash, that those who want to say that regarding that bracha, should paytu lachem l'kulam, and that everyone has to agree that then one person's bracha will exempt everyone else. Why? Because the halachim mashma, this actually sounds like the text of the bracha, that one person makes it and that other people are listening and fulfilling the obligation with them. Because what's the text of hatayva meitiv? Hatayv means Hashem is good la'atzme, for the person himself who's drinking the wine. Vameitiv, and that he does good, means la'achrini, to the others that's at the table, shem shayisim emenu, that they also drink from it. So therefore you see that obviously there are people that are paying attention and also having, because ha'tayv is for himself, and ha'meitiv is for others. And therefore it must be that others are fulfilling their obligation with his bracha. However, Taisus brings Rabbeinu Yechiel ha'yomer, he said that actually delahi, it's not the case. Because the shaykh nami ain beis abli aponi, you could have it even if that the throat is not open, so to speak. In other words, that it's even when they're preoccupied. And actually, there is no difference between the bracha of a tayv meitiv and the bracha of wine, meaning to say that actually it's not going to fulfill the obligation with the person's hatayv meitiv. Everyone have to make their own hatayv meitiv. Now, and he addresses the point that we just said. Because this that you brought the reasoning that you said, wait a second, what's with the text of the bracha? It says hatayv is l'didei, the Hashem is good is for himself. Umeitiv lachrin, that he does good is for others. Says Rabbeinu Yechiel, ainah paita achem, that bracha is not exempting others. What do you mean? Why doesn't it exempt others? Isn't that hatayv for me, ameitiv for the others? Obviously, I'm exempting them with this bracha. No, because the ha ameitiv shaykh, it says this concept of that he's meitiv, that in other words, that there's an element of a bracha, hatayv ameitiv is only made when not only you having pleasure, but other people having pleasure. Says Rabbeinu Yechiel, that's not for the shalib of ne'amativim. That's even when the person is making the bracha is not in front of the others who are also gaining from this blessing that you're making, meaning regarding the pleasure that you're getting. And therefore, it's not obvious that you have to say that the text itself is telling us that it's fulfilling others' obligations in the bracha, because he brings a proof in the Gemara later on, the Tesim base. where the halacha is stated that Amr Leif, people told the person, Yalda Ishtucha Zachar, you know, your wife just gave birth to a boy. So Ayim, the text that he says is, Baruch HaTeva Meitim, blessed is God that's good and that he does good. Now, why does he say HaTeva Meitim, not, let's say, a Shechianim? Because there's more than one person that's having pleasure. HaTeva L'Dedei, Hashem is, he's saying, is good for himself. V'Meitim L'Ishtucha, because someone else is also having pleasure from this new baby boy, it's also for his wife. Now, that's Avagav De'ein Ishtucha Yetzla, and that's in spite of the fact that his wife is not even next to him. They're telling him what his wife had in the hospital or whatever it is. And therefore, you see, HaTeva Meitim can be made even if the person that you're is also having pleasure is not there, which obviously they're not being gated with your bracha, and therefore it's not obvious that teva meitim, that person making a meal, would be exempting others, and therefore, no, we don't differentiate, and teva meitim is just like the bracha of bari pri agafen, that everyone has to make it for themselves in the middle of the meal. Now, aval tzarchi and gitzas, but one thing Taisa says that one has to analyze a little bit is me avdala. How do we understand the bracha of avdala? We're all discussing here in this daf regarding a kvias of together. They were saying that one person is going to make a bracha and fulfill others' obligations. So we're talking about middle of the meal, we're talking about what's HaTeva Meitim. But Taisa wonders in general, how do we have that one person makes Havdalah and he's fulfilling everyone else's obligation with the Havdalah? Sha'anam Havdilim Ba'imdim, we make Havdalah standing. Says Taisa, Heichanu Paitrim Zeze Me'ayinim Havdalah. How do we exempt someone else's obligation from the wine and from the Havdalah? Achri She'enonu Lo Yoishtim Le'im Mesubin. We're not sitting, we're not reclining. Now, the Mishnah said previously in Daf Mem Beis that a person cannot fulfill someone else's obligation with the bracha unless they're reclining, or at least Tateis had said in our days, okay, sitting is considered a kviyas, but only then could it make it combined that one person can make the bracha for others. How do we make Havdalah standing and fulfill others' obligations? Says Tateis, v'shem yeshlim, and maybe you could say, mitech shekoyben atzman. Since they're making a permanence over here, they're establishing themselves. Why are we all gathering? Havdalah to fulfill the obligation of Abdullah. So Kavinama Kulamil says, therefore we're also making a permanence regarding all the other things. In other words, that permanence here is also regarding the bracha on the cup of wine, because since why we're coming together is for Havdalah. So then it's going to help also for the bracha on the wine, similar to like a swa we had in the Gemara regarding the bread. It's kavis for that, so it's going to be kavis for the yain. So therefore, although we're standing, it could help for the wine, just like it helps for the Havdalah, which is obviously we're coming together for that. But that says Taisus, L'kach Novit Taiv, therefore it is a good thing, L'mavdal, for the one who's making the Havdalah, but Gam L'Shem, and all those who are hearing, Sheyeshu B'Shas Havdalah, that they really should sit during Havdalah. Shaz Yenira Kekeva, then it gives the appearance as if it's a permanence, and then the point dies, and then we can understand why it exempts them, because then they're making a real kafir by sitting together, which in our days is like the reclining in the Talmudic times, and therefore that's more ideal in the sense of then we could understand why one person can make Abdullah and fulfill everyone else's obligations. So Taisa's brought a machlekes regarding if we say Savri Mayri in the middle of a meal, if one person can fulfill everyone else's obligation even during a meal. Some say that it helps because, yeah, then the throat is clear, meaning people are not busy eating, they'll be able to hear the bracha and answer Amen after his bracha. Some say it's not going to help because the sages did not differentiate whether you're middle eating or non-middle eating. Rather, in old situations they instituted, in the middle of the meal, one cannot fulfill other people's obligation with the bracha on the wine. So this brings a machlekes regarding the bracha, but Teva Meitiv on new wine that's brought, where one person makes a bracha to fulfill the obligations of others in the middle of the meal. Some say you could do that, because that's what the bracha itself is saying. Hatev is for himself, and meitiv is for others. Some say, no, it doesn't help. And the reason is because he's busy eating. And that applies in hatev and meitiv, because hatev and meitiv could even be for the others that are having pleasure, that are not even here, and therefore it could apply even those that are here, but they're busy and preoccupied eating. And Taisa says, regarding the bracha of Avdalah, this that we make one person makes Avdalah and fulfill others' obligations, even though people are standing and they're not sitting or reclining, he says, because ultimately the permanence that they're making here is to hear Havdalah. But he says it's better to sit and make Havdalah that way, so that's for sure a permanence that can fulfill the others' obligation. Then in the next Taisa, the B'maschel, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Kol HaMugmaris, all aromatic spices that are burnt on the fire as incense. The bracha that is made is that we thank God that He created the woods that are spiced, the aromatic wood spices. Now, Taisa explains that although the aromatic wood is not visible, that's the chiddush that we're saying that you're going to make a bari atzi b'sam, because this Gemara from Rav Chisda was saying this halacha that all magmaris you can make a bari atzi b'sam. Taisa says that's coming to tell you. Even though we're smelling the burnt wood, and it's not visible, the wood that was burnt, because it's already burnt, still ultimately, since the source of this aroma is from, the origin is from a piece of wood, so therefore even though it's burnt already, you can still make the bracha of bari atzei b'sam. In the next taste of the Rimaskal, it says, begins the words of the Gemara of Allah Hadish Abachamakam, and regarding myrtles, wherever it is. Which Tesis comes to explain, oh, what's the halacha regarding mugmer, which we just mentioned before, in regards to, do you make a bracha bari atzi besamim? Because the Gemara seems to contend with this. So too, if someone has many different spices in front of him, and he doesn't know if it's from a tree or it's from the ground, what should he do? And that is, like we mentioned before, the Gemara, in the previous Tesis, the Gemara says from Rav Chisda in the name of Zi'iri, that all mugmeres, all incense, you make, if it comes from a wood, even though it's burnt already, you make a bari atzi besamim. Except for musk, which is from a wild animal, that then you make a bracha bari min besam. On that, the Gemara adds, where we learn the brisa, as our Tesis is quoting from that brisa, you don't make a bari atze besamim only if it's balsam wood, from like the house of Rebbe, or from the Caesar, where they had this expensive balsam wood, or like our Tesis is quoting, the myrtle, wherever it is, because that is more commonly found, where the wood itself is coming in front of you. Which that sounds like, but mugmaris, if it's already burnt, if it's incense, where the wood's not in front of you, it's already burnt, then you don't make a bari atze besam, then you can make a bari min besam. So the Gemara says, as our text in the Gemara is, that's a refutation of the interpretation of Rav Chisda. But Taisa brings that Baal Halachas Gedailis, the author of the Sefer Halachas Gedailis, loy garis to yufta. His text did not include the word after the Gemara's question as that it's refuted. And rather, Mishani, the answer was given, is that Tana Hadas. No, you're right. The Tana, the Braisa, taught that by a myrtle where the branches coming in front of you, you make a bari atzi besamim. But it's not just where the branches brought in front of you. It's actually b'chol the damile, anything that's similar to that, which, yes, would include mugmaris, kolayme, because what does that mean to say? It means when you bring in front of you something, she'ikari l'reach, that its primary element is for smelling, where the myrtle is for smelling. These balsam wood is meant for smelling. So that's what we meant in the Braisa to say, that then you can make a bari atzi besamim. Yeah, which would include mugmaris, even though it's burnt, because it's primarily for smelling. So what's it means to say? It means lafuki tapuchim b'chavushim. It means takes good, let's say, apples or quinces, she'ena karen l'reach, although they have a good smell, but their primary element is not for smell, el lechel, rather for a more primary utility, for eating. And that's what it means to say. So therefore, according to the Baal Halachas Gedailis, actually, it's not a refutation, and actually, we would make a bari atzi besamim even on the incense, even though it's burnt. And this that we have from the Brisa, it's not a difficulty. The answer actually given is, it means to say things similar to the myrtle, which is that it's primarily for smell, and it's just coming to exclude fruits, which are also for eating, not primarily for smelling. Now, Tesis continues with a related halacha. Someone goes to a house that there's a good aromatic spice smell in the house. Now, and the reason is because there's certain types of spice over there that he's smelling. But the person who enters is not sure. Is the smell coming from aromatic wood, which then the halacha would be, as we mentioned, bari atzei besam, that he made aromatic fragrant wood, or is it from an herb that grows from the ground, and therefore he would actually have to make a bari min besamim. So such tesis yesh mefarshim, that those who explain that in such a situation, shemavarch shahakol niyibavar, you make a shahakol, that everything was made with God's word. And the reason for that is because dal kulam, like we say in the previous Mishnah, on anything that a person coming to have pleasure from the world, in berg shahakol, we said that if you make a shahakol, and we rule even with bread and wine, yotze, fulfill your obligation. So the same thing here is also for the aromatic smell, you don't know where it's from, make a shahakol. But our teacher, the Rabbeinu Meisher from Kutzi, he would say that no, actually, shivar bari min besam. The bracha that you should make is that you should bless God that He created types of fragrances, where since it encompasses all types of smells, it'll include also those, whether it's atzei besamim or if it's from the ground, and therefore not don't make a shahakla, rather make a bari min besam, all types of besam. Then the next taste of Maslow, taste begins with words of the Gemara, Mishcha Kavisha. Taste come to explain what is Mishcha Kavisha and what's the other category of Mishcha Tchina. Because the Gemara brought that regarding this Kesharta, which Rashi explains means Kesht, which is one of the types of spices that were used in the incense in the Ketarius and the Beis HaMikdash. So on that's a aromatic wood, so you make a Bari Atzi Besam. But let's say it's Mishcha Kavisha, in other words, let's say it's submerged in oil, the way Rashi says it. So then the Gemara's question was, what bracha do you make on it? So the Tanakhama says that you don't make a bari atzi besam because you don't see the wood itself. Rav Kanda says, you still make a bari atzi besam. Then what's with mishcha tchina, which Rashi said, that means that you grind it down and then it's inside. So it's not even that you can't even see it. It's not really even around anymore. It's already grinded down. So that was also machlekes. Rav Kanda says that, okay, here you don't make a bari atzi besam. And the Hardoi said, no, even on mishcha tchina, you make a bari atzi besam. But that was the way Rashi explained it. Taisa brings the Pirish Rach, the Rabbeinu Hananel explains that Shemanu Mirabei Seinu, he says, we heard from our teachers that this is the following interpretation. What's Mishcha Kavisha? It means Shekavshin Shumshimin. They would pickle, they would marinate the sesame seeds, uvered with rose petals, the atzi besamim, and aromatic wood spices, zman ruba, for a long time. So then, in that process, the kolten hashumshim in reich shabasam. So the sesame seeds would absorb the aroma of the fragrant spices. Then the seichten, they would then go ahead and squeeze the teichen oisim, and they would grind down the sesame seeds. The yesh by reich shabasam has a real strong aroma of the aromatic spice. That's called mishcha kavisha when it was pickled, and there was a strong smell. So that's where those who want to say, okay, you'll still have a bayat shabasam because this has a very strong smell from the original wood, and some say not. Now, Mishcha Tchina, which was one level lower down, where many of them then said, no, here you're not going to make a Baratza B'Sam. What is that? That means something similar, but a little bit less. Karv L'Tchinasai, very close to when they grinded it, then Nishtim Alei Matza B'Sam, was only then that they put on their fragrant wood spices. So Ve'ena Koylik Kokach Arech. So it didn't really absorb so much the smell. So that's a lower grade. That's where we have the Machlekes. Okay, maybe here you're not going to make a Baratza B'Sam. And some say, no, even over there you're going to make a Baratza B'Sam because ultimately it still has some of the aroma of the aromatic wood spices. Now, continue with Amud Beis. Taste of Maschel. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara. Shemen v'hadas, oil and a myrtle. Taste is going to explain what type of oil are we talking about over here. In the Gemara there was a Machlekes where they brought in front of a person at the end of the meal oil and a myrtle. What should you make a bracha on first? Basham may say first the oil and then the myrtle. He still says no, first on the myrtle and then on the oil. So Taisa explains, not like Rashi. He says, Hai Shem, and this oil was lahariyachu, was oil that was being brought for smelling purposes. And he says, because the ilahavar hazuma, if this was the oil that was brought to then get rid of the filth of a person's hands, which was customary in Talmudic times, but if that was the oil we were talking about, we actually say later on, you actually don't make a bracha on that oil. And therefore, if we're talking about oil that you're making a bracha on, the only question is which one first, says Taisa, must be talking about oil that's brought for smelling purposes, and not, as we mentioned in the previous Taisa, certain types of oils that have these good aromas, that's what we're talking about, not the oil that was used to smear on the hands to get rid of the filth. Tim, the next taste of Maschel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara. Hachi Amar Rava, this is what Rava said. Hilchos HaKa Beis Hill. Oh, actually, the halachos like Beis Hill. To which the Gemara says, well, it's actually not the case. L'shtamutei nafshi hu d'kavad, he was only doing this to get him out of the difficult predicament that he was in. Which taste comes to explain, if it's really true that Rava said this, that the halachos like Beis Hill or not. And that is, the Gemara had a machlekes regarding, as we mentioned just before in the previous tases, when it's brought in front of a person at the end of the meal, oil and hadas, a myrtle, what should you make a bracha on first? Bashami says, oil and the hadas. Beis Hill says, the hadas and then the oil. Now, Leil says, and I'm going to decide, since by the oil we have both the smell and for anointing, and the myrtle is only good for smell and not for anointing, so therefore, primary is the oil, which is you're going to do first, which is like Beis Shammai, and only then the myrtle. Rechon says, Allah is like this of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, then the Gemara brought a story that Rav Papa went to the house of Huna Breder Ikka, and they brought in front of him this exact case of oil and a myrtle. And he made a bracha on the myrtle first, and then the oil, which was like Beis Hill. So Rav Huna said to him, don't you hold, like we just said, Allah is like the Machriya, which is like a Gamliel, which is like Beis Shammai, that you make on the oil first, and then on the myrtle. So Rav Papa responded, which is the different Masal of our Taisis. No, he says, this is what Rav said, Allah is like Beis Hill. Tosh Gemara says, no, it's actually not true. Rav never said that. This Rav Papa said this was only to get himself out of the pickle that he was in, that he had said that he had made a bracha on the myrtle first, when really he actually was supposed to do on the oil first. Now, Taisa says, Nakach kasa b'svam shalanu. This is, and this actually as it is, as it's written in our Gemaras, u'bepirush Rashi, in the way Rashi also has it in his interpretation of the Gemara. Avo Rav Alfa's pasuk Rava, but says Taisa, the Rif, he rules like Rava, that the halacha is like Beis Hill, that in such a situation, actually, you should make the bracha on the myrtle first, and then on the oil. So says Taisus, so then it's mashmid, sounds like from the Rif, shlohoye garis besifra, that he didn't have the text in his Gemaras, v'lohi v'chulu, like which what the Gemara says, that no, it's actually not true, the Rav never said this, and actually Rav Papa was just trying to get himself out of a predicament. It's rather, it sounds like that no, actually Rav Papa was right. Not like we said from Rabbi Yechanan, that actually Rava did say that the halacha is like Beis Hill, and that's why he made the bracha on the myrtle, and then on the oil, and actually that's how the Rif rules, which is obvious that it wasn't just an excuse, it was actually the real interpretation, which is that first you make it on the hadas, and then on the shemen, as Rava ruled, which is like Beis Hill. Him in the next place to be masal. Today's begins with the words of the Gemara. Hayman demurich be'esrege b'chavusha. Someone's coming to smell an esrog, a citron, or a quince. So mavarich b'chul, these have strong smells, these fruits. So he makes a certain bracha. So Taisus comes to explain, this is specifically the person's intention is to take them to smell it. Then he makes this bracha. But not if his intention is to eat it, and he's just smelling it. Which the Gemara brought that Zutra said that if someone's smelling the esrog or the quince, he makes, bless Hashem, they gave a good smell in the fruits. Taisus says that this halacha, that you have to make this bracha of Nosan Reich Tebe Peres, he explains, is v'davka k'shmerich b'em, if you're coming to smell them. Avalim bol lechem, if you're coming to eat it, ein levarach b'rechaz reich. Then you don't make the bracha of the aroma, kiim b'rechaz achila, you only come to make the bracha on the eating, because that's the primary pleasure that you're coming to do right now, although it does give off a good smell, that's not the bracha that you make on it as you're coming to eat it.